speaking with Mallory Otariano of Kind Apparel from Missoula, Montana. Now, I know that you sell a clothing line. I love the skorts that were on your website. They are so cute. How did you get started? And tell us a little bit about your company's philosophy and what you do.
So I started back in 2012. I opened up an Etsy shop and I just started selling things that I was making at the time. I grew up sewing, and so I'd always kind of made clothes for myself. And then after a few years, my Etsy shop kind of grew to the point where it was sustaining me pretty well. And I ended up kind of matching my income there and then quitting my full-time job in 2015. So now it's 2 full years of doing this full-time. And I've changed my line quite a bit since I first started. But essentially, the company is an eco-friendly clothing company, and I make women's adventure clothing. So everything is made from eco-friendly fabrics. So they're all upcycled, either thrift store clothing that we're cutting up and repurposing, or I'm using both ends or factory seconds or defects, remnants, and making something new and wild out of them. And all the pieces are a direct reflection of things that I use in my life every single day. A lot of clothing that's very multifaceted and easy to use and wear for a lot of different applications. I spend a lot of time outside, and so everything that I make is able to be worn and be flexible for movement and outdoor adventures.
How has your line evolved from what you started making to now?
So I started off making a lot of things out of t-shirts. I made t-shirt skirts and some dresses and tunics and like these crazy wild colorful yoga pants, definitely more of like a hippie festival vibe. And then there was a little bit of a fusion that needed to happen between my lifestyle and the things I was making. So now I've evolved from that into more of an activewear movement-inspired line.
How do you manage wholesale accounts when your raw materials are, there's some serendipity to it, like what you find, and you don't really know, I would assume, what kind of fabrics you're going to come up with, and you have wholesale accounts that are expecting products, and that must be challenging.
It is challenging, and I'm actually in the middle of not rebranding, but restructuring a little bit where my materials are coming from to address that issue. Right now, the wholesale accounts that I have are people who are very open to the idea of just getting a grab bag of random colors and random prints. But there have certainly been some larger retailers that I've attempted to contact or work with, and that's obviously a big challenge for them because they want to bring in seasonal colors and they want to have control over their prints. But what I do offer, mostly for my local shops, is the ability to swap things out. So if I give them a bunch of things and there's like a brown or an orange, and a few months later those brown and orange pieces are still sitting around, it's clear that their customers aren't shopping those colors. So I'll swap those out for colors that do work. But it's definitely a hurdle as I grow. That's my biggest challenge for sure.
What did you do prior to getting into this business?
I actually opened my Etsy shop the week that I graduated from college.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, back in 2012. Mm-hmm. But at that time I was doing agricultural research for the University of Massachusetts. And then I have a degree in architectural design, so I worked as an architectural designer after that. And then that just wasn't really my thing. And I had a lot of passion for what I was doing here, and it brings me a lot of fulfillment. And I wanted to kind of have a wonderful day every single day. So that was kind of my ethos there.
I like that. So do you think that your business could have existed prior to the internet and social media and all of that? Do you think your business could have existed 10 years ago prior to all of this technology? And what have you really taken advantage of?
I think that I probably wouldn't have had the inspiration or drive to start my business had it not been for a platform like Etsy or tech or other social media platforms. Because I was really, there would have been really no way for me to know it was out there. I was hugely inspired by everyone who I found selling on Etsy and the thousands of different shops that exist on there. And the fact that there were so many people on there making a living doing what they love and making a creative living was really, really inspiring. So I think that, like, at the crux of it, just the pure inspiration and ability to see other people having success was the sort of catalyst for propelling my business forward, I think. In terms of selling, I live in a pretty small city. I live in a city of 70,000 people, and it's one of the larger cities in the state. So, I certainly couldn't sell without the internet because I just don't have the resources available locally. So being able to reach a mass market and a larger audience has been incredibly helpful through Etsy And now that I'm not really selling on Etsy that much, definitely through social media. I use Instagram a lot. I'm marketing through Facebook and yeah, all those great things. It connects a really interesting web of people, which I love.
What has been the most unexpected success that you've gotten from social media or press from other sources?
I would say just kind of, maybe not one specific success, but sort of the connectivity that has happened where I do a lot of pop-up events and live events, travel around to a lot of different art shows and yoga festivals and things like that. And I'll be in a faraway place and someone will come up to my booth and will say, "Kind of Peril, I've heard of you. I follow you on Instagram." And I think that's like the biggest takeaway from social media for me, to be able to be thousands of miles from my studio and have someone recognize me because of the power of the platform. That's great.
How have you dealt with growing pains with keeping up with product demand? Do you sew everything yourself or do you have help? How do you keep up with inventory?
Right now, I am doing everything myself. In the past, I have had some help, but still searching for that perfect helper or two or three. But the production is pretty much all on me. Bring in a couple people once in a while to help with little things around the studio, but it's been very challenging. I definitely need some help. I need to hire someone immediately. But I'm just kind of chugging along, and it's sort of, I don't know, it's definitely my baby, and I have trouble handing off responsibility, and I don't necessarily have the time to train someone right now because things are so busy. So I'm just waiting for that perfect, really talented person who wants to come along and be part of the team. But yeah, I think having help could elevate things incredibly.
Have you had any product fails where, like, you thought something was going to be great and it just tanked, and learned from those situations? Or has everything that you've designed been successful?
Mostly. Like, I've definitely designed a couple things, but I haven't put them to market until I've tested them. I'm trying to think of something in particular. Pretty much my product offerings that I have now are, like, I only keep the things that sell well. Some shorts a couple years ago, and I made a couple pieces for myself, and I sold a couple at events, and I sold a couple online, and those never really took off. So I didn't put those into the production stream. But other than that, no, I take a lot of time designing things, and, like, I'm always thinking a season ahead in terms of what I might like to bring in, and try to bring in things that are incredibly useful. So I know that even if, like, the design needs some tweaking, the product itself is useful. So if I bring something in and it's not quite what people are looking for, I'll kind of tweak it here, make it a little shorter there, add a pocket, add a seam, listen to the customer feedback a little bit.
I think pattern grading is so challenging. I mean, I sew too. And so not having that kind of training, I mean, it sounds like you were trained in architecture, not having that formal training. How did you teach yourself? Because I think it's incredibly challenging to make multiple sizes and getting fit right. I think that's a challenge.
The patterning side is definitely still a challenge because I don't have traditional patterning skills, but I've been sewing since I was probably 5 or 6. So I have a lot of just skills with working with fabric, and the patterning comes in terms of I'll cut pieces, try them on. I have a couple dress forms. So I stretch things around and I do a lot of measuring and a lot of tweaking, and a lot of product testing. But yeah, no, that's definitely, anytime a new product comes out, there's a lot of R&D behind it. For me, particularly, because I like to experiment with different fabrics and different sizes and different styles. And yeah, it's definitely challenging. But the fabrics that I work with are all very flexible and very stretchy, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's a little bit more forgiving in terms of fit. Do you think being in a smaller town, and especially Missoula is a pretty artistic community, do you think that has played a part in your success?
I do. Although, yes, for sure it has. This year is really the first year where I've started to grow local roots and really root myself here and gain more shops in town and have a bit more of a local presence when it comes to events. Previously, I sold online, and because there's not a lot of events that go on here in Missoula, I travel a lot. Like, I drove 35,000 miles last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I travel all across the country to all sorts of different events. So that took up a lot of my time kind of going outside of the community. And now this year I'm focusing, now that I have half a dozen stores that carry my line in town, I definitely have more of a presence here. And I feel like the community market is a little bit greater. There's a bit more of an opportunity to capitalize on it. So that's my plan for this summer, is to be a little bit more local.
Have you had the experience of any store coming to you and just finding you and saying, "Hey, we want to carry your stuff in our store"?
Yeah, definitely. I would say probably 30% of the shops I'm carried in, about 25 stores, and probably 30% of them are people that have found me. I also do trade shows once in a while, so that's sort of a half and half. Like, I'm going there expecting to find people, but then it's up to the buyers to come into my booth and approach me. So that's kind of cool, too. But yeah, I've definitely had some store owners contact me, people they know, or people have come into their shop wearing my things, and they say, oh, I want that brand. Where are you? And that's kind of exciting.
Do you run into people in town wearing your clothes? That's got to be kind of exciting.
I love that. From a Dairy Queen, and the other day I was sitting doing some emailing, and I looked out the window, and there was a woman wearing my dress walking up to the Dairy Queen window. Yeah, it's pretty cool to see that. I love that.
Do you compliment people wearing your clothes?
Absolutely.
I would totally do that. That's awesome. That's so funny. So what advice would you give to someone who wants to have an arts crafts-based business and start doing what you're doing? Not necessarily clothes, but, you know, something that's handmade.
Well, I would say, first of all, if you have a true passion for it, that's really the biggest ingredient. It is certainly going to be challenging, but it's going to be incredibly rewarding. And if you are completely in love with what you're doing, that'll be enough fuel to get you through the difficult times. And then on a more rational basis, I would say make sure it's profitable. Like get your pricing structure down. Make sure that you're turning a profit before you put your products out into the world, because it's really tough to put things out and then backtrack and change and raise all of your prices. Make sure that you know in your soul, like, why you're really doing it. If you're doing it because you absolutely love the process of making things, then that's incredible and that's all you need.
Well, it was such a pleasure speaking with you. I learned so much, and I find this so inspiring to talk to you. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much, Julia. I really appreciate you thinking of me and finding me.
Oh, no problem. I hope we can drive some more traffic to your website through our little podcast.
That would be wonderful. Thanks so much.
No problem. Bye.